Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids need wholesome snacks to fuel their bodies and imaginations, like the delicious soft-bake organic Clif Kid Z-Bar. With 10 grams of whole grains, it was made for active kids like mine. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm on stopwatch duty for the backyard obstacle course. Grab a box of Clif Kid Z-Bar snacks for playtime anytime.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, it's Tuesday the 23rd of June 2020. This is Stuck at Home. My name is Bex and I am joined by pal, colleague, hero. It is my Fun Kids friend Sean. Hey, Sean.
Howdy, 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 Bex.
Oh, have a little kind of American
little darn tootin' greeting there.
Oh my goodness, love that. So Sean is going to be playing us another tune at the end of this episode from his brand new podcast. But before
what a teaser.
Before all of that, we'll be giving you a few things you can do at home, finding out all about the elements that make up our world, and I'll be chatting to the team at the Week Junior, as I am wont to do, to find out about what is happening in the world right now.
This is a stacked podcast. Look at all of that stuff that's happening. Oh my days.
If you make it to the end, you give yourself a pat on the back. It is the oh my goodness, Sean, is this the one show for kids?
We are the one show for kids, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but let's roll with it. It's on prime time on the BBC. Let's go with it.
Absolutely. We are packing this with loads of joy and awesome stuff and giving you a few things that you can try out at home. Now, this week, I had a little walk around my neighbourhood, Sean. Have you been doing your daily walks around?
Do you know what, Bex? I've been squeezing in a couple of jogs here and there. Just doing a few runs.
Oh, Sean, who are you? What's happened?
I know. I'm a traitor to my personal brand, Bex.
Oh my God, you surely are. Anyway, me and my friend, when we were walking around, we noticed some people hadn't taken down their Christmas decorations and some people had replaced them with a kind of a summer theme. Let me explain.
So hold up, sorry, don't want to just jump right in here. Who's still got their Christmas decorations up? And also, sub question, How do we know that they're just not doing a lockdown Christmas, as we have suggested on this very podcast in the past?
Well, it's true, they could be Fun Kids listeners and they could be doing that, but basically I saw a few people with wreaths on their front doors. So, you know, at Christmas people maybe get holly and ivy and berries and they stick it in like a big circle and then they put it on their front door and it's a nice Christmas decoration. Well, I've seen quite a lot of those in the past, but I've never seen summer versions of it. But it turns out it's quite a big thing now. Loads of people have been reclaiming old Christmas wreaths and putting lots of like summer flowers in, because we've officially started summer now, Sean. Or they've been remaking them using old little hula hoops or getting little arts and crafts activities and putting loads of summer and spring vibes in there. Maybe also sticking in their favourite things like toys and stickers from packs and Lego figures and making like a super cool wreath that you can put on your front door, because wreaths aren't just for Christmas, they are for life, Sean.
I love the repackaging of seasonal items to make them useful for other seasons, because, you know, that is the world we're living in. We need to be more sustainable, we need to be reusing things, and why should a wreath only be used for a Christmas time when you could summer that bad boy up?
Absolutely. So we've got one in our back garden, actually, which we just kind of did dump. And it's gold and it's kind of like twiggy. But what we've done is we've stuck in some flowers from the back garden that are actually alive and summery. We've put in some of our favourite things that we found around the house, like little bits of like smiley faces that we've drawn on pieces of paper, and some stuff that's kind of represented being stuck at home to us. I know for a lot of listeners, it might be like bits of chalk or maybe, some stickers or some action figures. So whatever you do, you can stick it on your front door. And instead of a Christmas wreath, you can have a summer wreath.
Sounds excellent, Bex. Sounds excellent.
What about you, Sean? What have you been up to?
Well, I feel like we've been covering designing lots of different things, like making your own quiz show, making your own storybook, making your own movies. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Bex, but has anyone steamed in and suggested to make their own superhero comic book series?
You know what? I've been here for every one of our checks notes. 88 episodes. And no, I don't think we have.
88 episodes and nobody's made a superhero comic book series. What are they doing? God, it's a good thing that I turned up, Bex, because that is my suggestion for things for you to do if you are still stuck at home. Why not make a superhero comic book series, potentially starring yourself and all your mates as like a Power Ranger-esque group of legends or Avengers. Avengers probably better, actually.
Sean, I've got to ask, obviously, what is yours? Are you the hero of your own story, and what is your superpower?
Yeah, Mega Sean. Mega Sean and Robot. That would be our series. It's just a normal boy and his mad robot going on adventures, and then sometimes the robot gives me powers, and then I become Mega Sean. But I can't always be Mega Sean. That's the thing. Because I need the golden microphone in my hand.
Oh, wow. And what powers does he give you?
Just meganess. Just general excellent mega powers, like, you know, strength, speed, charm, charisma, all those good things. And Robot's got lasers and stuff. It's, you know, it's going to be a good comic.
Sean, you don't need Robot to give you charm. You've got that in bucket loads already.
There's no golden microphone necessary for that.
No, that's your own invention. You don't need a comic book to tell you that. How many panels are we talking in each comic strip?
Oh, I think it depends on the storyline, Bex. If there's something particularly epic going on, I'd want that to be a full page spread. But, you know, if it's just little bits of dialogue, then, you know, maybe 6 to 8 a page. How about you, Bex? What would your comic book superhero be?
Well, obviously, she'd be called the Bexatron. And there would be a "the" before that, the Bexatron. I'm pretty sure she would be wearing dungarees, but dungarees that are made out of some kind of like Teflon-y material. Is Teflon impervious to some kind of like... That's good, isn't it? It's not just the anti-stick stuff.
I think that's Teflon's entire gimmick, is that it lasts anything.
Oh, okay.
So that I could just imagine a big robot Bex with Teflon dungarees on.
I wasn't too sure the Teflon was just the stuff you see in pans that makes it not stick to stuff. And I was like, that can't be my special skill, just not sticking to things. Yeah, so I think my special skill, I'd obviously be able to fly, because that is the best superhero skill of all. And I think I would just, I'd wander around having a lovely old time, basically, being impervious to any danger with my Teflon dungarees.
Would be great, wouldn't it?
Ah, what a dream. So if you are stuck at home like us, give those things a go. Create your very own summertime wreath for your front door to cheer everybody up, or make your own superhero comic book. And tell us if you do, send a message to funkidslive.com/duck and you could appear in a future episode.
Right, we're listening to a brand new series called Chemistry Superheroes, which is very on topic considering our stuck at home suggestions this morning. And it's all about Karina and her superhero alter ego, K-Mystery. Now, make sure you listen closely to the episode, because at the end of the Stuck at Home podcast, we're going to be giving you a quiz.
K-Mystery, elements in danger.
Hey, I'm Karina, and this is my super cool friend, K-Mystery.
Chemistry superhero alter ego, in fact.
So, you've been telling me about these elements in danger. Silver, arsenic, yttrium and gallium. Any more?
Oh, plenty more. I've got one right here. It's gorgeous. Gargantuan. Get ready. Gear up. For the genius of gallium.
Gallium? Is that where Doctor Who comes from?
That's Gallifrey. Come on, hold tight. The story of gallium starts with a father of the periodic table.
The periodic table? That's like a big chart with all the elements on, right?
Yeah. The periodic table used today was developed by a Russian called Mendeleev in the 1860s, 150 years ago. And how amazing is this? He actually discovered gallium before it was even discovered.
Which makes literally no sense.
By grouping elements depending on their properties, Mendeleev could see that there was a gap where gallium would ultimately end up being.
Nope, still doesn't make sense.
Okay then, fast forward to 1875, when a French scientist called football, Emile Le Coq de Boisbedon, located some gallium for real when examining some zinc.
Voila.
It turned out to be really handy. And that's in part to having some kind of freaky qualities.
Doesn't look very freaky. More like a lump of silvery metal.
You think? Well, let's turn up the heat just a little.
Ooh, cosy. Oh, it's melted the gallium already. But it's only a bit warm in here. I thought it was a metal, and that metals only melted at high temperatures.
It is a metal, but one of a handful that melts at very low temperatures, like mercury, that we find in thermometers. Gallium's great, though, because it's not poisonous. OK, turn the heat down again and...
Oh, it's solid again. Weird.
Weird, yes, but useful. We know that gallium melts at exactly 29.76 degrees Celsius. But if you keep turning up the heat, gallium won't start to boil until the temperature's over 2,000 degrees. Hardly any other substances stay liquid over such a wide range of temperature. Gallium's used to conduct electricity in mobile phones and can also make cool blue and violet LED lights.
So, why is it an element in danger?
Well, there is some gallium in the Earth's crust, but like many other elements in danger, it's hard to extract from other elements and minerals. You need to mine thousands of tons of rock just to get a small amount to use. And that's why it's important that we conserve the gallium we have.
So, what are we going to do?
There's plenty you can do. More gadgets mean more elements are needed. So, simply buying fewer phones and tablets, well, we can start preserving the resources that we have. Sharing and reusing technology you don't need anymore and recycling them when they're broken. Some of these rare elements can be recovered and used again.
So, you're saying, if I help out, I'm kind of being a chemistry superhero too, just like you.
No one is just like me, Karina. But you'll be the next best thing.
Thanks, K-Mystery.
K-Mystery, Elements in Danger, with support from the Royal Society of Chemistry. Find out more and get hands-on with chemistry at funkidslive.com/chemistry.
So you can go on more adventures with Karina and K-Mystery by searching for Chemistry for Kids wherever you're listening to this podcast. Now, I hope you're listening closely because three questions about that episode are coming up right after Beck's chats to the Week Junior.
All right, let's zoom over to the Week Junior magazine. That's the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds right now. And today we're joined by writer Michael. Hey, Michael, what story do you have for us?
Hey, so I have a great story about a woman who everyone should know called Kathy Sullivan. Now, back in 1984, she became the first American woman to walk in space. And now, almost 36 years later, she has become the first woman to journey to the deepest point in the ocean. So on the 7th of June, Sullivan, along with an explorer called Victor Vescovo, descended almost 7 miles into the Challenger Deep, which is the lowest point on the Earth's surface that humans can reach. It's in the Pacific Ocean. And it was a four-hour descent down there in this special submarine called the Limiting Factor, which has this kind of squared-off shape, which made Sullivan describe the journey as being like a magic elevator ride. They stayed down there for around 90 minutes, taking pictures and gathering samples for scientific research to try and find out more about this part of the ocean, and then had another four-hour journey back up to the surface, after which they then called up astronauts who were on board the International Space Station for a chat about their experiences. Sullivan said it was this extraordinary day, and she's always been fascinated by the sea. She worked in the US Navy before she became an astronaut, and she actually had a lovely quote about it, where she said that, you know, explorers aren't just people who go on these record-breaking expeditions, but she said that exploring is probing things we don't yet know or understand and arriving at a deeper, better, wiser, more valuable insight about who we are, where we are, and how to live, thrive, and survive. So she has not only been in space, she's also been down to the very deepest point of the ocean. So from one extreme to the other.
That is incredible, because there is that thing of we don't know as much about the ocean as we think we do, do we? There's still so much more to find out about.
Yeah, so much of the ocean is still unexplored, and because it is such a such a big journey to go down to this particular point, the deepest point in the ocean. There's still so much more to learn about it, which is why they were gathering samples and doing research while they were down there. So hopefully, you know, as well as Cathy Sullivan having broken this record, hopefully they'll have found out some new information as well, which can improve our understanding of the world's oceans.
Brilliant stuff. Well, thank you so much for that, Michael. And hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Speak soon. Bye.
Now that our brains are swelling with Week Junior knowledge, it is now time to put our nice and warmed up brains to the test with a quiz and find out how much you learned about that Karina and Kay mystery episode that we played you earlier. Question one. What element did this episode focus on? Was it A, hydrogen, B, helium, or C, gallium?
Oh, gallium's not a word you hear very often, is it? Question two. What is the periodic table? Is A, a big chart with all the elements on it, B, a desk designed for school lessons, or C, a table that only lets you sit on it for a small period of time?
And last question, true or false, the element from this episode melts at very low temperatures. Is it A, true, or B, false?
All right, let's travel back and get some of those answers, shall we, Sean?
I think that sounds like a good idea. What element did this episode focus on? It was obviously C, gallium.
Question two, what's the periodic table? It was, I think you might have known this, a big chart with all of the elements on it.
True or false, gallium melts at very low temperatures. The answer was A, true. It melts at 29 degrees Celsius.
How did you do? Let us know at funkidslive.com/stuck. And remember, if you are there, let us know if you get up to any of those activities we mentioned earlier. Maybe you fancy making a summer wreath, or perhaps you get a little bit arty and turn your skills into some cartoons. Now, that is it for today's podcast. So goodbye from me and Sean. But before I let you go, Sean, I believe you've got something to tell us all about.
Yeah, the Sean and Robot Comedy Circuit podcast. It's the podcast of audio ridiculousness that I do with my buddy Robot, who we present the breakfast show with. And there's loads of nonsense in there. We chat to Robot's friends. We answer your questions. Robot sometimes steals my interviews and re-edits them to make them sound mad. And also, my favourite part of the podcast is that Robot's ex-bandmate Katie turns your song title suggestions into actual living, breathing songs. So you send us a song title, could be about anything, hopefully something mad, and then Katie will turn it into a actual song. So I'm going to play you a song from the second episode in the Sean and Robot Comedy Circuit series. There's seven available to listen to right now. This one is called The Bottom Trumpet Party.
Have you ever been to the bottom trumpet party? Everyone important will be there. Have you ever been to the bottom trumpet party? It feels like you're floating on air. Have you got a ticket? I've had cauliflower cheese. Have you got a ticket? Just broccoli, please. Have you got a ticket? I've only had beans. You're the bottom trumpet queen. Have you ever been to the bottom trumpet party? There's magic in the air. Have you ever been to the bottom trumpet party? We're already there.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.